You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by Homewatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
97.9 FM WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. Now, Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno.
Welcome to this episode of Caring Connections. This is Nicole Bruno, your host, and joining me today is Bridget Speck, the Area Manager of Business Development at Sunrise Senior Living, and Karen Preston, Case Management Team Leader at Duke Raleigh Hospital. And today we are talking about transitions in care. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We are very glad to have you here today. So you brought with you some of the things that we might need to know about care transitions that we probably don't know. And one of those things is, what in the world is care transitions? And so you are telling us that care transitions refers to the movement that patients make between healthcare providers and settings as their care needs change during the course of an acute or chronic illness.
It's a mouthful.
That is. And I said it in one breath.
I know, right?
So do tell.
Well, I think that it's important to understand that care transitions is really something that's been happening for a very long time. It's just now that it has a term labeled to it. And it's really when someone comes possibly from home into the hospital, and then maybe from the hospital they need to go to a skilled nursing community or an assisted living community or even back home. They might need to see their doctor. So it's bringing together all of those pieces to caring for one person.
Okay.
And I think it's important that we look at care transitions as a team effort. So we're not only including the patient and the physician in the hospital, but we're also including the primary care provider as the patient transfers to another level of care, and including the family in that piece to bridge the gap, and then any other resources that we would like to utilize to make that a safe transition for the patient.
So that sounds like pretty much like a holistic type approach, kind of looking at that whole person and everything that surrounds them, all the parts and pieces, so to speak. Very good. How about more effective communication and collaboration is needed between the family and healthcare providers to improve care coordination? And we were just talking about some offline jokes before we came on air today about all the sort of the debacles that have happened in our own lives. But talk to me a little bit more about that.
So I think when somebody is in the acute care setting at the hospital, we need to take some time, the physician, the case managers, the families, to really talk about what's going to happen, what's it going to look like when they go home. And some of the things that we may not understand in the hospital as their daily activities, we need to engage in a plan of what's going to work for them when they go home as we plan for transitions. So whether it's home health coming, understanding what that means, understanding Medicare benefits, understanding 24-hour caregiving, if that's what's needed when the patient goes home and their recovery period, but having the team together to understand that we are communicating as one and that we're understanding the same information from the physician, the case manager, and the family as to what's to happen at the next level.
One of the things that you just said, Karen, take some time. That's quite the elusive piece, I think, because, you know, we're all so busy. You know, the physicians are busy, case managers are busy. A lot of times these families are working caregivers and they're running in and out of the hospital, and taking that time is definitely key, but I think that's probably pretty hard to do sometimes. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. It is hard. I was just telling Karen on the way over here a couple years ago, my dad had a total knee replacement at the VA hospital. And so I was on the other side of caregiving, and you're in a whirlwind, and you know, everything happens so quickly, and then you've got to plan for this discharge, essentially to go home, and that's what dad wanted to do. And so it's putting all the pieces together, and you really have to take the time to make sure that the medications are correct. I mean, dad had probably, I don't know, 25 medication bottles still in his cabinet from years ago that I had to clean out with, you know, for his new medications. And then getting his therapy, you know, part A therapy, and then he needed to go to outpatient after part A. So just having the plan to make sure that he got fully recovered.
Wow. And it's a big task. Even, you know, personally having children in the hospital, and I've had three, and the third one I left and I thought, what in the world did they tell me? And I've had three, and I, you know, it's just,
right.
Definitely, I think it's always a good idea to always have somebody with you as well, just to rehear what happened, because you're not going to remember all the things that are told to you as you're walking out the door, I don't think. So you've created, or a group has created, called the Hospital Collaborative. What is its purpose? Karen?
So we decided that our initiative in getting all our acute care providers at the table, all three hospitals, along with all our post-acute providers, quarterly to discuss the needs at hand, what's going on in the community, what are the issues that the different hospitals and the post-acute providers are dealing with, for everybody to come for an hour and a half to discuss these problems and these challenges that we're facing. Healthcare is changing day to day, and so we need to work as a team to communicate the same things across the Raleigh-Durham area, and also to work together to solve some of these problems that we can as a team together.
What a great idea. And this has been going on for 2 years?
About 2 years, and it's really improved the communication between the hospitals and families and post-acute providers and, and everyone, really.
So you've definitely seen some outcomes. That's great.
And I think the other thing is we've developed relationships. And as we talk with other acute care providers and post-acute providers, having those relationships so that when we have a challenging issue, whether it's in the hospital or whether it's in primary care, we know the right people to call at the right time. And we've had those relationships that we've built from this collaborative so that we know who we're talking to, and then they can get us to the right place and the right people to get the job done. And I think that's important.
That sounds wonderful.
To build those relationships.
Yeah. Wonderful. And the fact that you take the time, again, the word time, to do that, I think that that's huge, and that all of your the hospital systems and post-acute providers value it enough to allow that time to be given. So that's great. So this show is for caregivers about caregiving. What advice do you have for caregivers that have a loved one in the hospital?
I would say be present, but yet give yourself time. Since your loved one is in the hospital, you need to take that time to go home and get a good night's sleep. But to be present. Sometimes you're not present when the doctor comes because, as we know, doctors are in and out.
Yeah.
There's no set time. They're responsible for, you know, a good caseload of patients. So sometimes you will miss the physician.
Well, we are going to take a quick break, and joining me today is Bridget Specht, Area Manager of Business Development at Sunrise Senior Living, and Karen Preston, Case Management Team Leader at Duke Raleigh Hospital, talking about transitions in care.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections, and joining me today is Bridget Specht, Area Manager of Business Development at Sunrise Senior Living, and Karen Preston, Case Management Team Leader at Duke Raleigh Hospital, talking about transitions in care. And right before we left, we were talking about the different types of agencies that were represented in this consortium of care. And if you wouldn't mind, Karen, just sort of reiterating for the listening audience, so people know who has been involved in this collaborative, that would be great.
Sure. So we have WakeMed, Duke Raleigh, Rex, WakeMed Cary, UNC, and then we have other home care agencies throughout the Raleigh-Durham area, as well as assisted livings, skilled nursing facilities, rehab facilities, home care agencies, some geriatric care managers, and then hospice agencies included.
Wonderful. That's great. So I know part of what you're doing here is, you know, you've created this collaborative. There's lots of talking that's been going on, and it sounds like you've had some outcomes. and you're helping the patients as they're discharging and making transitions from one space to another. But I understand that you have also had an education subcommittee within the hospital group. What was the purpose of that?
It really was to bring educational programs and literature to the general community so that we can improve the transitions in care for people that are in those situations.
Okay.
One of the things that we've done most recently is that we've created these transition sheets. So now when you go into any of these hospitals that Karen just mentioned, mm-hmm. And a discharge planner says, you know, you may want to think about hospice, or you may want to think about home care mm-hmm. or home health care, or you may want to think about assisted living communities as your next step out of the hospital because you can't go back home. We have these transition sheets right now that explain what those things are, mm-hmm. How do you pay for those, where are some great resources, things like that.
That sounds like a great idea, and I'm sure written for the layperson so that it's not all this legalese and complicated technical information. That
absolutely. Mary Claire Prasnicker from Rex actually is their health literacy specialist there, and she actually put it through their health literacy program. So it's like a third grade level.
That's cool.
I know, right?
Wow, that's awesome. Okay, so tips for caregivers. I'm thinking of, you know, bringing it back to the caregiver that's listening to the show today. What should the caregivers do after a discharge from the hospital? Say their loved one's home and they're feeling overwhelmed, and you know, what are some of the next steps?
I think ultimately, and we have tried to do this at Duke Raleigh with some of our high-risk population patients, and ultimately for everybody, having a follow-up visit scheduled with your primary care physician within 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is huge, not only to give support to the caregiver and safety for the patient,
mm-hmm.
but to reconcile the medications so that the medications that are being written for discharge go to the primary care physician, and he looks at them and makes sure that we're not missing anything. Medications are a big piece of the puzzle when you mm-hmm. go home, and we need to make sure that everybody's on the same page, because when they go home, it's the primary care physician that's going to be directing the care, and he needs to have a good foundation for what is to come, and then discuss what happened in the hospital.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's and the caregiver needs to be there with their family members so that they can understand as well.
And when you talk about those medications, make sure that those medications that are in the medication box at home are the same medications that you're being discharged with on your list, mm-hmm. that you're not going back and taking your old medications with your new medications.
Right. 'Cause, assuming that it's okay, you just need to add these new ones that you
right.
just got from the hospital. Yeah. Now, what about, this is something I've heard about, and I'm not sure if it's something that's happening in this area or not, but not to add to all of your caseloads, but do case managers in this area follow up with families after discharge to make sure that things are going well within the first couple of days of discharge? Or is it sort of once you leave the hospital, the ties are cut? How does that work?
So at Duke Raleigh, we are following up with some of our high-risk populations,
okay.
so congestive heart failure patients
okay.
and diabetic patients
okay.
are being followed up with follow-up phone calls.
Okay.
And that nurse calls them to see how they did when they got home. Did they have any problems getting their medications
mm-hmm.
for congestive heart failure? Are
mm-hmm.
they weighing themselves?
Mm-hmm.
And then any questions they have. If they had a problem getting a follow-up appointment, they can help with that.
Mm-hmm.
If their home health did not show up, they can help with that.
Because okay.
sometimes the best laid plans,
right.
things don't happen
That's
as
right.
they should. So
mm-hmm.
they will collaborate with me as the care transitions case manager. Not only do I do team lead, but I also I'm the care transitions case manager. So if there's any issues for follow-up, then they'll call me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can follow
sure.
up with the case
right.
manager or the home care agency, hospice, whoever it is,
right.
to make sure that they're going to come visit that
So
patient.
I'm hearing you talk about high-risk populations and following up with them. But say I was in a high-risk population and I wanted to call back to the hospital. Am I able to do that? Or is it like
yes.
you can do that? Because I wonder if people realize that they can do that sometimes when they leave. Because, gosh, even when I had children, I don't even think I ever thought I had a question I could even call the hospital again. I don't think I even thought about that myself personally. So
every patient in the hospital at Duke Raleigh, they have a case manager phone number. So
mm-hmm.
whoever the case manager was assigned to them while they were in the hospital, they have their name and their phone number on the discharge sheet that they can call back and
right.
talk to.
Okay.
And so that is
That's
sort of a safety
know.
Net.
It is nice. Yeah.
And you can even do that with even if you're coming out of a skilled nursing community from rehabilitation,
mm-hmm.
You can, you know, call back to them, because it may be that you don't need to go back into the hospital. You might just need to go back to the rehab.
Right. And I I've heard, you know, going to different rehab centers in the area, they say they love it when their previous residents call them back. Number one, they get to hear how they're doing. Number two, they get to hear about how the referrals they made worked out, because they often don't get that feedback. So that's definitely a great thing to do, for sure.
Yeah. The area hospitals, Wake Med and Rex and UNC, are doing very similar programs to what Duke Raleigh's doing
as well. Yeah, I'd heard some grumblings about it, so I figured I would ask here on air to see what was going on in this area for sure. So, great. So I know that you had a personal example of how all this works, Karen. Would you mind sharing?
Sure. So my mother went to her cardiologist and had some medications that were adjusted. And a lot of our senior adults are utilizing mail order pharmacies, which also adds to the complication of care transitions.
Not ones from Canada, I hope. Ones from Canada.
No, I'm just kidding. From California. Trying to sure that when they adjust the medication, what do they do in the interim? And that's something that a lot of family members don't think about. Mm-hmm. Well, they change the milligram dose, so what do I do in the interim? Because I'm waiting for this mail order to come.
Interesting.
So having an advocate there to say, okay, so I'm going to stay on this medication, or if it's something that needs to be done immediately, that you're going to have that medication called into a local pharmacy until your mail order comes.
Okay.
So that's just a simple example of trying to logistically advocate for your loved one and say, how am I going to have this medication as quick as possible?
So it's another step.
And know what to do.
Okay, well, we are going to take a break. And again, joining me today is Bridget Specht, who is the Area Manager of Business Development at Sunrise Senior Living, and Karen Preston, who is the Case Management Team Leader at Duke Raleigh Hospital.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections, and joining me today is Bridget Speck, the Area Manager of Business Development at Sunrise Senior Living, and Karen Preston, the Case Management Team Leader at Duke Raleigh Hospital. Well, this has been a very enlightening conversation so far, and I'm just so happy to hear that, you know, everybody is working together and playing well together in the sandbox and coming up with some great ideas and ways to help, you know, the caregivers and care receivers out there and folks who end up in acute care and in long-term care really have a better experience and a better outcome and better quality of life. And I know you brought with you some great resources, Bridget, that you wanted to share about, you know, other things that people can look into or other programs that the Hospital Collaborative is working with now. I was hoping that you could share a few of those with us in the time we have remaining.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are certainly websites or agencies that you can touch, like CMS.gov gives you kind of the overview of everything. And Triangle J Area and Aging, that serves the whole area that we're in. We're in the Triangle J area. So they're a good resource. NextStepInCare.org is a great resource to really understand about care transitions. Mm-hmm. But there's things that are happening right here in our local community. You know, there's Guiding Lights, which is a great nonprofit in the area that's a referral center for caregivers and their families, and it's at little of no charge to families. And there's things that are happening, like programs. Like I know, you know, at Sunrise, we're doing the Road Home program. Mm-hmm. So if somebody actually goes into the hospital and needs to be discharged but can't go home right away, they can come to our assisted living community for a set amount a day for up to 30 days. And we help them get to the doctors, and we help them with their medication regulation and things like that. There's also hospice. You know, a lot of families, I think, don't really understand the full support that hospice and palliative care can give you. Mm-hmm. But even to start understanding what that is now, and you can jump in at any point here, too, to talk about that as well.
But. So I think as our seniors go through life and things start getting more complicated and body systems start failing, I think that there are options out there if a patient has decided that treatment is not an option and they're tired. You know, there is the ability to go on hospice, which is an interdisciplinary team, a nurse, an aide, a chaplain, a social worker, volunteers that just wrap their arms mm-hmm. around the family mm-hmm. and give them the support and love that they need.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure to speak with both of you today. This has been so enlightening, and it's so heartwarming, and it makes me really happy to hear. Again, joining me today was Bridget Specht, who's the Area Manager of Business Development at Sunrise Senior Living, and Karen Preston, who is the Case Management Team Leader at Duke Raleigh Hospital. And as always, you may email any caring questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Thank you so much and have a great day.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as those people affected with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers. You can hear this and any other program of Caring Connections on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Be sure to email questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.